Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Back in the swing of things. Here on Sunday morning with all of our regular features, including the week in health. What is the latest that you need to know? Dr. Jeremy Silver joins us, as always, medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Always nice to chat with you. I'm a little confused this week, and I'm a little confused every week, but this week, especially regarding COVID vaccines or no COVID vaccines, at first, I heard that the CDC had dropped its recommendation that healthy kids should get COVID vaccinations. And then later on in the week, I heard that that had been rescinded, and the CDC is now saying that kids should get COVID vaccines. Can you clear this up for us, please?
Dean, I don't know if I can, because the administration has been kind of sending mixed messages on this, and I truly don't want to speak for the U.S. government. I'm with you. My initial understanding a couple of days ago was that they're only approving, in terms of insurance covering these vaccinations, for people that are either chronically ill or over the age of 65.
Right.
So what I can say, I can say what the science would support, but in terms of what the final recommendation is going to be, I have to say I'm still a little bit in the fog as you are.
Yeah, and that it begins to get political, and who is saying what and who's contradicting, and one day it's on and one day it's not. And I don't want to get into all of that. Really, I am more interested in the science. If somebody has a child, what does the science suggest that one should do regarding COVID vaccines?
Sure. Well, within the larger context of, everybody can do what they feel is best for their kid, the science would support vaccination at 6 months or older. There's no evidence to do it beforehand, and no one would do that. But there's a reduced risk of severe COVID. There's a lower incidence of post-COVID conditions, like we're thinking of long COVID, and there's decreased hospitalization rates, particularly in children ages 5 to 11. So kids that got the vaccine versus kids that didn't, and again, we're talking greater than 6 months to 18 years, they had better outcomes. So that information to me is pretty clear, but everybody's going to have their own read of that.
Yeah.
So that would be my if I have a family come to me and say, hey, what does the science say? This is exactly the answer I would give them. The science says you should probably consider it.
Now, one more thing that got thrown into the hopper this week with to vaccine or not to vaccinate is a new COVID variant that has landed in the U.S. and it's called NB.1.8.1. I don't know why I think that's important to say, but it's a new variant that apparently is more transmissible than other strains of COVID that we've had. Can you tell us anything about this?
Yeah, no, you nailed it. And that's essentially the information available about that variant, the NB.1.8.1. It spreads quickly. There's no evidence that it's more severe. And this kind of tracks with what we've seen of viruses like COVID as they kind of evolve, is that they're going to evolve to maintain survival, right? So if they can spread quickly, that's going to be advantageous to them being the virus population.
Okay, so is this something that the average person should be concerned about, talk to their doctor about, make sure that they're up to date on their vaccines about, all of the above?
Yeah, so the vaccine, in terms of vaccine effectiveness, the existing vaccines, meaning the most recent set of boosters, are expected to provide protection against this, meaning to reduce the risk of severe disease, not to totally prevent you from getting it. And so I think I wouldn't particularly be concerned about this variant as opposed to any other variant that's come out over the last year. It's just a constant reminder that, hey, this virus is evolving. Probably a good idea if you haven't had your booster and you meet criteria, i.e. talk to your doctor, maybe a good idea to get boosted because the virus is not going to stop evolving. And our immune systems can use all the help they can get.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, since things calmed down, I know that I'm behind on my COVID vaccine, something that I need to get caught up on because, you know, if there's a new variant. Summertime is here. People are in get-togethers or you know, weddings, family events, etc. Why take the chance? As far as I'm concerned, I mean, as you said, everybody can make up their own mind on what they want to do. But, you know, it just seems like the smart thing to do for me anyway. So we'll just put the information out there and you all can do what you wish with that. In the meantime, 312-981-7200 is our number. If you have a question for Dr. Silver, 312-981-7200. I had some questions about the piano man, Billy Joel. He announced that he was canceling all of his tour dates this year because of normal pressure hydrocephalus. Normal pressure hydrocephalus. I hope I'm saying that right. A condition of the brain. Can you tell us more what Billy Joel is living with right now?
Sure. You said it right. Normal pressure hydrocephalus, and that's just hydro meaning water and cephalus meaning brain. So too much water on the brain is kind of a simple way of putting it. Your brain, Dean, all of our brains, you know, sits inside this box we think of as a skull, and it's bathed in this liquid that helps take away all the toxins that form up, kind of keeps it, forms a shock absorber of sorts. It's not a ton of fluid. It's about 5 ounces, less than the volume of liquid in a can of Coke. And that is constantly circulating through your body. And so you have inside the brain, there's the brain itself, there's the skull, there's blood vessels. And then there are these little areas, think of them as little lakes or reservoirs where that that spinal fluid just kind of sits. And in some folks, particularly in older folks, this disease affects people over the age of 65 and most pronounced in people over 80. In fact, almost 6% of people over 80 are affected by this. It's a large number in that population. That fluid doesn't get recycled. It's sort of blocked from resorbing into the body. And that can lead to problems. Typically, you see issues with gait and balance, so walking, trouble walking or trouble maintaining balance. People have trouble controlling their urine, and then cognitive difficulties, so issues with memory or even personality. So a fairly significant impact on life. Now, there is a treatment. There's really only one treatment for it in terms of the disease, and that's to put in a shunt. And we can certainly talk about that a little bit.
And does that cure the disease or just control it?
Well, it sort of depends. Half of the people with normal pressure hydrocephalus develop it primarily, meaning it sort of just develops because of whatever is happening in that individual's brain. We actually don't know fully. Up to 30% of people with Alzheimer's have it. There's a thought that maybe there's some kind of degeneration in the system that recycles that fluid. And that as you get older, the ability to recycle is diminished, but it's not 100% clear. And then there are the folks who develop it as a result of another disease process. So, for instance, they unfortunately develop a brain tumor. That tumor blocks the circulation of the fluid. And then it's a little bit more straightforward. Sometimes just taking the tumor out and then will help resolve the problem. Hmm. So it kind of depends on what led to it. But if it's primary, meaning if it developed for unclear reasons, then the shunt is the way to go.
Well, we wish Billy Joel all the best with a recovery, being able to control all of this. Jay is on the phone line at 312-981-7200 with Dr. Jeremy Silver. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Love your show.
Thank you.
My question is about the bird flu. I haven't heard much about it recently, but I heard that our quote-unquote wonderful administration just cut the funding for Moderna to develop the vaccine for it. And I'm worried that if this bird flu starts to get to people, that it's going to have some big ramifications if we don't have a vaccine that's ready to roll. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
What's the latest on that?
Yeah, it's a great question, caller. Thank you. It's worrisome. I mean, I think the cat is not yet out of the bag in terms of bird flu. There were a couple of people that that got extremely sick from the virus, and one or two, I believe, died, which in the scheme of things is a very, very low number, meaning that I don't think we've jumped the shark yet, so to speak, in terms of transmission from human to human. But that's definitely a risk. I was disappointed to hear that the vaccine development was ceased. One can hope that that somebody like a Bill Gates or some sort of philanthropic organization or individual might step in to help with the funding, or alternatively, the drug companies might just decide, you know, we're going to go ahead and just do this either outside of the United States in Europe or through some other mechanism. But it's very much a to be determined at this point in time. It definitely makes you uneasy when you start running math.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like something that is yet to be determined. We'll keep our eye on that. Jay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. From the 708 area code, Dean, can you ask Dr. Silver about pregnant women getting the COVID vaccine? It's CDC guidance on this. This week is also very confusing.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the confusion. I wish it weren't this way. The initial guidance was that it's beneficial both to the mother and the fetus. I think we would still, as a healthcare entity, recommend it. But in terms of, again, it all comes down to insurance coverage, because if it's not being recommended by the government, then, you know, you're going to have to pay out of pocket. But that aside, the finances aside, it's still very much recommended for pregnant women.
Yeah, a couple of people on our text line, I'm just going to mention, are texting in that, you know, why are we pushing vaccines? Why are we shoving that down people's throats? I think we said pretty clearly, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
We're just putting the information out there.
Not shoving anything, Dean. Not want to be clear about that.
Yeah.
I'm not, and I have no interest to report, by the way. I don't get paid by a vaccine company to come on here and spew information. But I think, you know, it's the same reason I would tell a young mother, hey, try to breastfeed if you can. There's good evidence to suggest it's beneficial. Does that mean formula is bad? No. We look at the evidence, you offer the best recommendation you can, and then move on.
Yeah, and, you know, in the case of the breastfeeding, you may make a recommendation, and the person can decide, that's not for me. So do it, you know, you do what you want to do. I think we were pretty 100%. Clear about that. You know, we're just putting the information out there. You choose to ignore it, that's up to you. That's entirely up to you, so... Anyone who's saying that the doctor or this show or WGN is pushing anything, We're just putting the information out there, and you can either choose to, you know, ask your own doctor about it, or you can choose to ignore it. To say that we're shoving anything down anyone's throat is just perfectly, ridiculous. Do you have any information, doctor, to shove down our throats regarding this Canadian wildfires smoke that we're all inhaling today? It can be a bit of a respiratory problem for some people, can't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, my recommendation is just, you can look up.
Still with us there, doctor? Hello? Uh-oh. Sounds like we lost our doctor. Okay. Well, gosh. I guess that's what happens to doctors who shove information down people's throats.
Seriously, though, were you around Friday afternoon, late afternoon?
I was not. I was in California where the, the wildfires were going on. I didn't really even notice lingering smoke from that devastation.
Friday afternoon around here was, you could smell the smoke. It felt like you were really breathing in these particulates. I walked around for a bit and went back inside.
Yeah.
So if people do have some respiratory issues, yeah, avoid it.
Yeah. A good day to stay inside, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Until when is all this supposed to clear?
Tomorrow at some point. And it had been, speculated we were going to get some severe weather Friday afternoon and some rain, which might have helped wash this out a little bit, but that didn't happen.
Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing how just things float around like that, and you notice it when you take a deep breath outside.
And think of how far away this is.
That's just amazing to
me.
Amazing.
Thousands and thousands of acres, and that gets into the atmosphere and circulates. And as far south as, Georgia or something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we have to take a break, and I have a newsman who's very particular about me getting the news on time.
You have 2 minutes.
I don't know what gremlin took our doctor away from us, but thank you to Dr. Jack Silver for joining us today from Kishwaukee Hospital. A quick break, and then that persnickety newsman is coming up next.